you will, and you have your Bibles before you're seated, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter number 66. I don't know where we'd be without him. Wouldn't even try to want to imagine trying to be without him. Isaiah chapter 66, if you found your place, say amen. Verse number 5 said, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that dwell and tremble at his word, your brethren that hate you, and that cast you out from my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth, and before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who have heard such a thing? Who have seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she shall bring forth her children." In Jeremiah chapter 31, pray the Lord would help me. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping." Isaiah said, "For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." I believe it was Thursday, the Lord spoke to me, and rarely, some preachers will know days and days ahead of time what they're preaching. It doesn't happen that way often to me. But Thursday, the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is what I want you to preach. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord will help me, on no voice in Zion." No voice in Zion. Would you stretch your hands this way one more time? Ask God to help us, Father. Hallelujah. I felt impressed of the Lord. The Lord seemed to deal with me concerning these verses of Scripture. And I felt like God dealt with me concerning Zion. Zion is such a wonderful place. Oft times in the peaks of our life and then in the times of victory, and in the times of refreshing of enjoyment and relaxation, men often resort to the house of God as being a place of Zion. Men often find a haven of rest sometimes in the quoted phrase of saying, "Zion, Zion, Zion." For see, Zion by itself, it exhibits the attributes of home, relaxation. It represents the joy and the fulfillment of an obtained victory and a place of ease. But when Zion loses her voice, she has then become a place of constant chaos and torment. Amen. I want you to stay here with me just a minute as I lay out this foundation, if the Lord will help me. So many of us try to paint the picture in some kind of way as to let people know that we are Zionites, and that by living a life of exempt from sin and dedication and standard living, that we talk about being Zionites, and we talk about being men and women that belong to the inhabitants of Zion. As saying, when you say preacher as Zion, you're saying that we belong to God and the church of God. We belong to the people of God. We belong to the heir child of God, to the family of God. But I don't know of anything that is more despicable that could be had or given to a name than it is that a man should name a name and live totally opposite of what his name is. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to go into a lot of history here because that is not the focus point of my message. It's not the intent of it, but to understand where Zion came from. It was the city that David besieged from the Jebusites. It was the place that he had took over and that he had named it himself. And then because he became the ruler and the conqueror, it was often named the city of David. It was often told concerning of the city of David in the Word of God when it is mentioned repeatedly of the city of David. It's talking about God's house, God's dwelling place. It's talking about the people of God. In the Old Testament, it was known as a city, and it was told of an inhabited city of David's life. But in the New Testament, Zion takes on a new name. It is the house of God. It is the place of worship. It is the place. One man said one time in asking, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Zion. What do you mean, Zion? I'm going to the place of worship. I'm going to the place where God is going to visit, where the Holy Ghost is going to come down, and where God's going to answer prayer. Can I tell you, in this house, it is such a great need in our generation that we have Zion in our house, that we have a place of Zion. And we have a place that we can say, this is God's house. This is the dwelling place of the Most High. This is where God lives. This is where God moves. This is where God reigns. Oh, but can I tell you that when Zion loses her voice, she becomes no more than a tributary. She becomes an empty place. It's not God's intent that Zion to be silent, that Zion should be empty, but it should be that Zion should have a voice, and a voice of praise, a voice of honor, a voice of glory. God help us put the voice back in Zion again. Help me here. So many times we reach a place where we do not hallow the place of Zion. Zion is not considered by a lot of people as being the hope and the restoration. Amen. One writer said, and there's a lot of different architectural facts and geologies of that land, but one writer said that Zion was up on a hill about 150 feet high above the rest of the place. And oh, when I got to reading about the capacity of the size, and I got reading about the majesty of this place and what David did to it, it said Zion sat on a hill. I wonder why David said, I'll look under the hills of which cometh my help. He was talking about help coming out of Zion. Help was coming out of a place that I know that no foul
no beast or no enemy can destroy. Oh, thank God. Help us here this morning. I want you to know that Zion was not intended to be a place where we just come together. It was to be a haven. It was to be a rescue. It was to be a life-giving. It was to be a hope and a source of bringing children into the kingdom of God.
I remember reading some time ago concerning Zion. It said it's set up on a hill. It said upon that hill said there was ridges and deep ravines all around it. It's set up by itself. All the symbolic of that place being alone and by itself. It was untouched from any other city. Any other city was laid beneath it. They were in the valley floor. But Zion was on a hill. What was it? It is the symbolic end of the nature that God should be God alone. And there is no other God besides our God. Oh, you ain't helping me preach. I know where I'm headed. Just stay here. There's some of us, we have lost the heart for Zion. We have lived so long in the valley plain of the floor of the enemy's camp until our heels of hope don't call us as it used to call us. There's not a pride in us. Oh, take me to Zion. Oh, take me back. Get me back to where I used to be. Get me back to where the Holy Ghost used to breathe across out of the higher. Used to breathe on me. Get me back to Zion. Get me back to that place. I wonder sometimes if David did not resort in his mind and in his heart when he himself reflects upon the spirit of giants, and he would make the statement, oh, can I paraphrase? Oh, Zion, thy beautiful gates and thy beautiful walls, how amiable is thy house, O Lord. Oh, come on now. I'm telling you, God thought so much. I knew some of you. Some of you don't read your Bible deep enough to find out anything, do you? I mean, when you get to reading about how David described Zion and how much he hallowed Zion, you get to wondering, why did God take it upon himself to have a nature to say, hey, I'm going to call that the city of David, the house of God. I want to tell you something, in this house, we are losing our voice of adoration. We are losing our voice of praise. We are losing our voice of thankfulness unto God about Zion. I tell you, the writer said that the highways of Zion are inbound. Oh, God, help me to know how to reach the pressing hold of the floor of the house of God and find my rescue and find my place of safety. I want to tell you why you're empty. You've lost how to get back to Zion. You've lost how to love that place. Zion has become no more than a place of gathering. It's become no more than a social club. The world looks at our Zion and says, hey, oh, come on here now. I can tell some of you ain't with me, but I feel him with me. I'll tell you, somewhere after 1 o'clock this morning, when I shut it down, I was ready to preach. So you sitting there looking at me and affecting me right now. Are you hearing me in this house? I want to tell you why I'm happy about it. I want to tell you why I feel so good about preaching it. I found my way to Zion. And I found where the joy's at. I found where the peace is at. You know why some of you can't be happy no more? You've got to drift over standard. And I wouldn't say this in a worldly church. You don't cut your hair. You don't wear makeup and jewelry.
victory, but you've lost how to get to Zion. You've lost how to reach that place of adoration in your life, where God is the all majesty, where God is that hollow place, where God is that place. Oh, take me back of when I had a church that wanted to go to Zion. That prayer now, it's still rich, it's still full of God, it's still full of peace, it's still full of happiness to live in Zion. Thank God.
Oh, it's the ending of a long, strenuous day. It's the longevity of the battle. It's the pressure and the push. It's the problems and the cares that seem to weigh us down. But David said, there is a place who's up on the hill. If I knew how to get back there, if I can just look up to Zion, I can find hope and rescue. I can find peace and joy. Well, you ain't helping me preach, but that's quite alright. I want to tell you the reason your face is long and your eyes are cold and empty. They've lost the spark that Zion used to give it. Oh, you ain't helping me here. I mean, there was a time when somebody said Zion, it immediately resurrected. I knew I had to praise. I knew I had to worship. I had to preach. I had to shout. I had to run. It's attribute of Zion. You see, oh, I know I'm going to get you mad at me. But nobody gripes about setting up to 2 o'clock in the morning playing crazy board games. Nobody gripes about sitting at a stinking computer 5 or 6 hours playing rotten games. Oh, come on now. Oh, come on here now. You ain't helping me. We'll spend our time on the highway down from Zion, traveling away from hope, traveling away from peace, traveling away from the things. Oh, some of you ain't going to help me now. Smile big, it ain't going to hurt you. If it's not Atari, if it's not board games, it's occupying our time. If it ain't gossip on Facebook and MySpace, people and the rest of them, it's occupying ourselves somewhere in the circuit of this world that's diminishing the praise of Zion. Oh, come on now. I wasn't wanting to go this fast, but I feel something pushing me. The old black spiritual used to say, Zion! Oh, Zion! What's the matter with you now? I'll ask a question. You thought I'm a son of a Josiah. If God was to stick a thermometer in the mouth of Zion, what would be the temperature? I'd say, let it be a fervent heat. Let it be a fervent worship. Let it be a fervent praise. Let it be an adoration of glory unto my God. That's in Zion. You see, Zion was to be the exhibit city that made every other city look up to it. We read that in verse number 6. It says 3 times, a voice, a voice, a voice. You ever heard anybody make the statement, I'm going to slow down here, because I can tell some of y'all don't want to church. You ever heard anybody make the statement, well, I ain't got to worship. I don't tell you, I can take enough verses in this Bible that tells you that if you don't lift your voice, you don't have nothing in you to start with. Oh, come on here now. I mean, praise is what?
comely of the upright. Amen. Oh, what do you mean, preacher? It's just something they do. It's something that's automatic in their life. Anybody saved? I said, anybody saved in this house? If you're saved, say amen. If you're saved and you're happy and you know it, say amen. Thank God of a Messiah. Give us a Messiah that knows how to worship. Give us a Messiah whose mouth is full of praise. After full of honor and glory unto her God again.
Hallelujah. What's missing in me, preacher? I'll tell you what's missing in you. It's the spirit and the attribute that you used to have when you lived in Zion. Woo! I told the boys this morning, I didn't tell them what I was preaching, but I was writing notes while they were in my office. I said, I'll never preach it. I ain't even got to point one yet. I'm so full about Zion until I can't hardly talk about nothing else. I tell you what made us great. It wasn't our building. It wasn't what we were able to capacity up. It wasn't the abilities and the strengths of Goliath's head. Oh, come on now. It wasn't even the trophies of a lion and a bear hanging on our wall. It was our praise in Zion that made the world know we had something that could get us over the hump. We had something that could get us over Blue Monday and make us live as though every day is a Friday. Come on here. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, if we don't get it back, we're going to lose our babies. We're going to lose our children. We must get Zion back in operation again. Are you hearing me? Somebody told me the other night, said the sound system's loud. I said, they still don't hear me. So the system ain't your problem. What your problem is, you've lost how to get to Zion. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. What are we missing in our generation? I'll tell you what we're missing. It's not another movie. It's not another fantasy. It's not another house. It's not another car. What we are missing is a road map that shows us in the middle of our dilemma how to get to Zion as quick as we can. Oh, come on now. Maybe I'll preach a part two tonight to this. But I'm here to tell you the perplexity of the church. It's not born by the world's trouble. It's born by the loss of voice. It's born by the loss of adoration. When we used to praise, when we used to shout, when we used to run, get out of the used world. I said, get out of the used world and get back in Zion's world. God's people still worship. God's people still praise. God's people still shout. God's people still speak in tongues. Our prayers toward Zion has become so pathetic. Oh, they become so empty until when we go to talking about Zion. Oh, let me read this verse of scripture to you.
by the rivers.
What river you been sitting by lately? Huh? Has it been the river of self-pity? Before I got saved, I used to watch TV. And there was a show come on. I hated it with everything I got. But I hated it so bad, but I still watched it every now and then. You understand what I'm saying? It's called Hee Haw. You know who the best characters on there were to me? It's the old guy sitting out on the front porch with the dogs laying in the yard. Gloom! Despair! And agony on me. Ah! You'd have somebody in the background when he'd get that note. Gloom and despair and agony on me. Had somebody in the background would holler out. I know, boys, y'all want nothing but heavy metal and all that other stuff. But I understand. They'd get over there and they'd wail back at somebody. Oh! You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. Misery loves company. It don't like being by itself. You know the reason why? That you link up to somebody else that hates the church as much as you do, that hates the people of God as much as you do, and the reason they talk so defeated as you talk defeated, it's gloom and despair. But oh, you can hear what David said by the rivers. I'm in a strange land. This ain't Zion. This ain't my place. I don't belong here. I'm feeling like preaching. You don't belong by a strange river. You need to walk on shore of a Hosea. Be by the river of life, the river of God, the river of joy, the river of peace, the river of hope. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat. Yea, we wept. What did they weep over? Anybody a Bible reader in here?
Say it, brother. We remembered Zion.
When we remembered Zion! Can I ask you a question? Does it bother you that you're not living in Zion? How much do you lamb over the fact? I feel the Holy Ghost here. I'm going to say something here. It may set every one of you down. It's quite all right with me. But there's some of you in this building. If you didn't have misery, you wouldn't have nothing. You can't see the sunshine. You can't see the joy. You can't see it's worth living. You can't even talk about the joy of being right. You don't even know how to stand up and scream, "Hey, I'm saved!" Hey, you find the devil, so what? But so am I. Are you hearing me in this house? But I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Do you got the Holy Ghost yet? But I'm in Zion. I'll tell you where I'm at. My body may be in trouble, but my soul lives inside of Zion. What have we lost? Only reason men feel, are you hearing me? The only reason men feel empty and broken and no hope, no joy, no peace, no happiness is because of simply one reason. They've lost inside of them the highways that know how to get them to Zion.
David said, we wept when we remembered Zion. I'm going to just say this because it's hard to preach this. I'll be honest with you. It's hard to say anything about it. It's hard to get up here and tell and say anything when you've been pastoring somewhere for 20 years and you're looking at people on a regular basis. It's hard not to shoot at your world. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the only reason coming here is an option. And if you come, so what? If you do, so what? If you don't, so what? You know why? Because you don't know Zion. You don't know Zion. If you knew Zion, you knew what would happen. When you couldn't be here, you'd weep about it. Oh, I'd rather be in Zion. I wish to God I could preach like I feel. I wish I could jump up and down and scream out loud so everybody can hear it. Zion is the best place. Get us back to Zion. Get us out of our trouble. Let us find our rest back in Zion again. Lift your hands and praise Him. Come on, lift your voice and praise Him. I'm going to get away from there. I'm going to just tell you, you ain't going nowhere until you get your love back for Zion. When you get your love for Zion, sinning on Facebook, sort of ask me whether you think it's a sin to be on Facebook, just as much as I feel like sinning and smoking, drinking and lying, stealing and killing. Oh, preacher, ain't nothing wrong with Facebook. I don't expect dead people who don't live in Zion to disagree. But come on now. They ain't got no power. They can't say nothing. But those that have come out of it and have walked away from it, look back and declare, it's a trap. In Zion we don't fall. In Zion we don't give in to sin. In Zion we give in to worship. We give in to praise. We give in to a move of the Holy Ghost. God, get us out of Babylon. Get us out of that river of life. Get us away from that place that's drowning us. And while I'm here, going to roll your lip out. If you can govern the habit of Facebook and the filth that's on it, then you ain't got no right condemning a smoker who only smokes once or twice a day. Huh? You tell me, preacher, you're wrong. Where was the Holy Ghost when you bumped up on it the first time and put your inscription in for it? Something crawled up in you and said, you shouldn't do this. But you know what happened? There's voices. Come to the piano quickly. There's voices in our land. You know what them voices are saying? Oh, you can live. You can live just as good in Babylon as you can in Zion. No. Not at all. My mom and dad's here. They got to go to Dublin in the morning. She said we were going to go this afternoon. And she said just to go on up there and get a room and take it easy. She told me and he told me these words. But I wanted to go to church. So we'll go in the morning. You see, when you're in great need of help, that hope, that old soul that's inside a man, if he's ever been to Zion, he won't be happy till he gets back. Woo! Help me now. I said, help me now. What are we missing? I'll preach a part two if the Lord will let me tonight on No Voice in Zion. I'm trying to get our voice back. But you ever seen anybody just always, they're walking around trying to stick a thermometer in the mouth of the church to see how hot she is and never say nothing themselves? You don't ever see them move. I'll be honest with you, you may not like me after this morning, but if you ain't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't go judging about anybody else's spirituality. There's something lacking in your life because you ain't got it. You believe the Bible said give honor where honor's due? Huh? It's all right. Walk with me. You poor little mamas. Got two or three little children. Five little children. Scar told me one day, said, oh, everybody can't be a Sister Phillips. That's right. You're so right. You're 100% right. And you liberal women don't like it either. She stays saved, sanctified with eight children. Stricken with rheumatoid arthritis. Doctor said she'd never be able to walk. Am I telling it right, Daddy? Said it when I believe it was when I was a baby or was it Cindy was a baby? Cindy was a baby. Said you just need to go on and admit her into a nursing home. Says she'll be no good for nothing. Says she'll never be able to walk. She'll never be able to cook. She'll never be able to clean. And she's still a stay-home mama. Raised eight children. Got a healing in the middle of all of it. You know why? It wasn't Babylon we was looking at. It was Zion. How come you're preaching like that? I had a mama that went to Zion. I had a mama that went to the house of God and said there's healing in Zion. There's a rescue in Zion. I'm not a fool. I didn't wake up yesterday. And some of you poor perplexed mothers just want to sit down and just say, well, how'd you do it? Huh? Number one, you got to have a want to. Number two, you got to have enough to want to pray in spite of it. And number three, you got to have a want to go. Yeah! Come on now. Notice how I hit a stump right here? Some of your children, you're going to make sissies out of your boys. Huh? We got the role turned around. You wonder why our little girls are acting so manly? We got them out mowing grass. Anything wrong with them working in the yard? Not at all. Huh? We got them mowing grass. We got them doing this. And we got little brother in the house washing dishes. Find out. We need some Corbins. Huh? So I told you the other day, said Corbin was up in the top of that crabapple tree. They said he's crazy. Said he's swinging out on the very end of that limb, just going way out yonder and coming back. Huh? What's bothering me is there was a time when we were identified by our personality, our character, our worship. They knew we were Zionites. Woo! I feel like preaching. I wish I had another hour. But I need to quit. I'm going to tell you something. I was in a camp meeting somewhere in this great United States of America. And this pastor came to me. After the morning service, I was there by myself. I think somebody else may have been with me. I know who was with me. Old Junebug here. He was with me. And we went out to eat. We went to Longhorns and sat down and ate. And prior to going there, I rode with the pastor over there. And he talked to me. And I'm going to be real careful here. He told me, he said, "Preacher," he said, We enjoy coming to your church. It should be good if you get down. I said, "Move your neck." Huh? I mean, hey, we're dying. I said, "We're dying." We didn't come here to make excuses for a dilemma. We come here to pray to the dilemma past. You know the reason some of you are going to rely on some narcotic medicine to get you through life? Because you don't know the joy of living in Zion. Yeah! I need Brother Exumi here. Yeah. Come on here. Get a little singing preacher going on here. I'm going to tell you something. You know what's going to make you girls marry the right boy? You know what's going to make you look more than just holiness? You know what's going to make you be patient and wait on the Lord? Have a home in Zion. There's two things I want to mention in closing. Y'all about ready to sing? There's two things I want to mention in closing. There's two disappointments in the life of Abraham. And I want to preach it sometime. I won't preach if the Lord will help me on this certain thought, but I'm not telling it to you now because we got thieves close by. But I will tell you this. He lived in a land where there's a famine. And number two, he lived in a tent. There's a reason that God wanted Abraham to live in a tent. And he wanted him to have an altar outside of the tent. Huh? The altar was to have victory over the world. And the tent was to remind him, there is no continuing city here. This world is not my home. So the reason you've been down so lately is because your home here has bugged the life out of you. But oh, can I tell you, I've got a building who's been fashioned by the master builder. It's in a place called Zion. I said, it's in a place called Zion. Oh, you ain't understanding what I'm preaching. When he turned around and he looked at him, and he made the statement, "Abraham, don't get disheartened, because I'm here down and out, traveling from place to place." He said, "But look up, Zion is down the road." I want to tell this church, you may be going through it, but keep your eyes, and your heart fixed on Zion. We're about to get out of here and go home in a little while. Hey! So while the rest of you are fighting and scratching to gain dollars and crooking for knives, I can tell when somebody, so I said, "Well, I'm really punctual. That's who I am." Yeah, you're punctual, all right. Everything but the right thing. I see them right out their tithes check. and it'd be $10.32. I mean, hey, what's wrong with the 68 cents? You understand what I'm trying to say? Huh? I've seen men who always hold God to the penny. God always holds them at the edge of a full blessing. We'll scrap for dollars and push, and we'll fight. We'll hoard up and we'll lay up and do everything in the world we can to make sure nobody messes with our nest egg. That's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, if that's your Zion, you're living in the lowland. I said you are living in the lowland. Woo! David said the highway of Zion's in them. You know what I'd sing right now if I could sing? Huh? I go to the rock of my salvation. You ever heard that? I'm not saying that. Don't worry about it. Huh? Where you go when you're in trouble? Huh? To the bedroom to pout? Huh? Where you go? I'm in it, preacher. I've noticed it. Am I killing you? I've noticed you let a preacher come by and start preaching on gloom, despair, and agony on all. I got certain ones in here, they'll sit down. You go try to talk to them about the problem, and you can't reason with them. I know old Prophet Levi here. Huh? They do that to me too. Huh? Come on now. You ever had him screaming and hollering trying to reason with him? Huh? Who wins? Huh? Who wins? You know what the first thing you got to do? Is you got to conquer that whining, crying. Quiet him down. Oh, David said, why? Come on here now. I know you ain't wanting to hear this, but hey, get out of your bellyache and get out of your complaining. Get out of your fault finding and get to the place where you can cry the tears of self-pity out of your eyes and be like Abraham and get out of that tent and look back at it with distress and say, I'm going forward. I'm going on. I'm marching on. I'm not being disappointed because God put a curve in my life. I'm going to worship. I'm on my way to Zion anyway. Somebody praise Him.
This valley, I'm so tired of this valley. I know that I'm gonna make a way.
How about get out of the valley?
Come up to
Zion.
I'm gonna see the trouble. I'm coming out of this valley.
Look out there, I ain't got nobody.
I'm coming out of this valley. I'm so tired of this valley. I know the Lord's gonna make a way.
I'd like to get a preacher out of the valley. I'd like to get a singer out of the valley. I'd like to get a worshiper out of the valley.
Well, I'm coming out of this valley. I'm coming out of this valley. Lord's gonna make the way so proud. And in his great ground standing, I can hold. See the south, I'm coming out of this valley right now.
He leads me out of all that, sometimes through the fire. Many tears, many burdens, many trials. Sometimes when the soldier must take the victory stand, will we overcome or never last? Well, I'm coming out of this valley.
I'm coming out of this valley. I know.